Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We're joined on the telephone now, telephone line now, by the General Manager of Letterkenny University Hospital, Sean Murphy. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. This is Greg. How are you doing?
Nice to speak to you, Sean. Right, now, there's positives and negatives like there is in anything, and we can talk about the positives shortly, of course, in that there's been a very good result for the hospital as it relates to the patient, 86% of patients reporting a positive experience at Letterkenny University Hospital. But it'd be remiss of me, before talking to you about that, not to mention some of the problems that persist at the hospital, it seems. 4,779 people awaiting inpatient beds at LUH this year. We're inundated, Sean, as you might understand. Inundated is too strong a word. I receive a lot of communication from people who have extremely long waits, people that are elder people waiting for a very long time in emergency departments, people being left on beds in places that really beds should not be. Just in terms of the, what would you rate the hospital out of 10?
So, that's probably an unfair question to put me on the spot. And look, I suppose, like a lot of things, Greg, it's, you rate in different respects. I think we provide an excellent standard of clinical care. I think our compassionate care for our patients and the commitment of our staff is, I would say, second to none. I have the highest respect and admiration for our staff, and I'm glad to see that comes through in the patient in the patient survey. I think that the issues in terms of our facilities and the capacity constraints we have are a very significant problem, and I couldn't rate as well on that. I would say that we have some real space and capacity pressures at the moment. And capacity is not just in terms of trolleys, but in terms of the number of outpatient clinics and diagnostic tests that we can put through, how long people are waiting. If you saw, and I'm sure you have read the press release we put out when the patient survey was announced, and I welcomed it, and I really wanted to acknowledge the positives in there, but I also want to thank the patients who gave their time to complete the survey. But I was very clear, and I felt I couldn't, you couldn't just talk about the good news story here without actually, as you say, rightly highlighting the fact that we are very concerned and very conscious, and I am personally very conscious, that many patients have wait significantly long time periods before I've been able to access these.
Because in fairness too, what people will say is that they are full of praise for the amazing staff down there, always full of praise. And once they are in the hospital, once they're actually in a proper bed on a proper ward, generally speaking, what we get here, positive. But what happens
there's room for improvement. Even when people get in, we acknowledge that. But overall, yes, people have a very positive experience. And I'd say that's why in our press release, I was very clear to point out, you can't just pick the positive bit and pretend that people are not having significant and waiting times, and in fact that the waiting times, particularly for emergency admission, has become much worse in the last 18 months to 2 years, and that's a factor of, I would say, two elements. One is the sheer increase in the number of patients that have been presented to the hospital, and the fact that the hospital hasn't grown as fast as that number has. So, I mean, from that perspective, I welcome the announcement or the authority I've been given this week to open up an additional 10 beds in the hospital.
When will that happen?
As soon as we can recruit, we can recruit the nurses.
Because it's 19 beds really that are available there at the short stay ward. Well, that's maybe that is not the case, but that's the information out there. What people want to know is, when will those beds be provided, when's the opening date? Effectively.
Well, I can't give an opening date as we've only got the approval this week. So just to clarify, there are actually 20 beds in the short stay ward. Right, I know 19 seems to have become the number that have been.
It's 20. Well, we'll address that going forward. Okay.
20 beds. Nice round number. It's 20 beds in the short stay ward. I've made it very clear, and I think I've said to yourself, and I think I've said on the show before, and I've certainly said it in lots of public fora, that since the start of the year, we have been making submissions. I say we, myself and the hospital management team here, and you know, we talk about managers. Management team includes the consultants who are leading their services and the director of nursing and director of midwifery. We've been absolutely clear that we want approval for all 20 beds to be open. We believe that we need all 20 beds open, and in addition, we also need additional capacity in the community, because on many days, most days we have 10 to 15 patients who are ready to leave this hospital and are just waiting a place in a community hospital. That's virtually a ward. On many days that goes up to 20, and our worst days we've been up as far as 28 patients. So, as I said before, several things are needed: more capacity in the hospital, more capacity outside the hospital for patients who are ready to go home that don't need to be in the hospital, and then additional facilities.
So just to come back to the short stay ward, if you don't mind, Sean. So the government has given approval for 10 of those beds or 20?
The government gave,
the HSA, beg your pardon,
gave approval for additional beds. That was increased by sale to management team because they didn't give all 10 beds and we needed at least 10. And I've got the support of the sale to executive management team to increase what was provided by the HSE nationally to give us an additional 10 beds in the hospital. But I can't just put 10 beds into the hospital and say to our nursing staff, now you've got to look after those as well as everybody else in addition, with this.
Okay, we'll take that in steps, if you don't mind, Sean, just because I don't get an opportunity to speak to you so often, too often, so I just want to clarify going forward. So you sought the opening of 20 beds at the short stay ward, and between the jigs and the reels, you were told that 10 of those beds can open.
I've got approval for and funding for 10 beds.
10 beds. Now, there's a recruitment process has to be gone through. How many staff are required for 10 beds, for example?
Approximately 14 staff between nursing support staff, so cleaners, porters, healthcare assistants, etc.
When do you expect that recruitment process to have concluded and for these beds to be available to you?
My problem there is that that question is how long is a piece of string. It depends on the how many people we have applying for the jobs here. And I'm guessing, right? So all I can say is from day one on this, I've consistently said that it would take 6 to 9 months at least to get all 20 beds open. Right. Realistically, that's how long it takes to recruit that number of nurses. Obviously, I say nurses because recruiting nursing is a real challenge for the hospital at the moment. It is easier to recruit some other categories of staff. So, generally speaking, right? And the trouble with these are always generalized statements. Generally speaking, there will be more applicants for healthcare assistant posts. Domestic attendant posts or portering posts in the hospital than there will be for nursing. Obviously, if you're recruiting less than the full complement of 20 beds, then you have to recruit less staff. That should be quicker, but it's still going to take many months.
Okay,
months. It's not going to be happen overnight.
Many months. Now, why was it not 20 beds? Is that because you weren't given the resources for that? Did you seek 20 beds to be opened and you were told you can't open 20, you can open 10?
Yes. And
when will that be reviewed? Like, when could a further 10 beds be opened? When is the next?
I'm already starting discussions in terms of having that reviewed. And I suppose I've got to be pragmatic here. Go back to what I've just said for the last 5 or 10 minutes. It's going to take us many months to get enough nurses to open 10 beds. So while that process is ongoing, I will be continuing to say, when we get to the 10, can we have additional to open the next 10? And keep that moving. Anybody who applies for a job in this hospital as a nurse will not be turned away if they've got the qualifications. And if there's anybody listening, I know... now Minister for Education, I think it's before he was appointed as Minister for Education when Joe McHugh was on your show some months ago, or some weeks ago, he pointed out that if any anybody was had family coming home that were nursing in other parts of Ireland or abroad and were interested in working in Letterkenny, to please let us know.
I've spoken
and
to three nurses from...
And I would echo that.
Yeah, I've spoken to three nurses working in Northern Ireland. It's probably not fair. Two of them were out in the Gulf, and I might as well just say we spoke to one on... they said they would be very interested in it, but they were... And in fact, but they have to... I don't know the exact process, Sean, but they had to register, and there was a cost involved in registering a couple of hundred euro, I believe, before they can even apply for jobs. That's an area that could be streamlined. Surely it'd be easier to get nurses back into the Republic working in Irish hospitals.
Well, look, we can look at that issue in terms of the registration, and I'm happy to look at it. I can't change the regulation. So they're by law in both countries, both in the UK and in the Republic of Ireland, there are legislative legal requirements in terms of who can practice as a nurse and what training programs and what certification and validation they have to go through. The same for medical staff, by the way. So you can't just walk into a hospital in any country, no matter what medical degrees or what courses you've attended, unless you're on the professional register, you cannot walk in and start practicing.
So one, we spoke last week about one older lady from Inishowen who was 12 hours on those seats in the emergency department. Other calls, I was in casualty yesterday morning, had a resist removed from my back. They found a bed for me last night in the corridor of a men's ward. The nurses are amazing, but this is not a health service. It's an ill health no service. And it's the nurses that were encouraging me to contact you to come on the radio and speak about this, because the nurses themselves are under pressure and feel stressed. Things like that, why do those things happen?
Very simple answer, and I don't want to sound blasé, but it is very simply down to the fact that I said earlier on, we have an increased number of patients presenting at the hospital, and before this, these additional beds were approved at the weekend just gone, we had no increase in beds over the last 5 years.
And who's that down to? Is that down to Sialta? Is that down to the HSE? Is that down to the Minister for Health? I mean, you know, you would be aware, Sean, and as much as I do try to, come in and point out the fact that you're applying for this stuff, but you'd be aware that a lot of upset and anger is directed at you. Let's call a spade a spade. You're there plugging away, are you? What brick wall are you hitting further up the chain?
I suppose, inevitably, if you're the captain of the ship, you are the face. I fully recognise I'm the local face of the HSE or of the hospital in this community, I take that responsibility extremely seriously, and I try to be as upfront as I can about it. You ask what seems like a simple question, but it's I suppose maybe not quite as simple.
Maybe therein lies the problem.
There are, if you like, steps to go through, but ultimately, right? The answer is the HSE allocates funding based on the what's allocated to the HSE in the national budget. So if you ask for the brick wall, is ultimately if the Sailta executive team are not given the funding by the HSE, they don't have to give to me.
Okay. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied?
If the budget doesn't give the HSE the funding it needs, then they don't have the funding to give. So, you know, where does the buck stop? It obviously stops at government level, but it there's also then approval stages that need. The government may argue they give the HSE enough money, the HSE need to prioritise differently. Mm.
Are you satisfied, right, that you have the right balance of, you know, management or clipboard holders or whatever you want to call them, and frontline medical staff? Is that balance right there? Because nurses have said to me before, there's too many people, in suits rather than in scrubs.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know of anybody who has goes around with clipboards.
I apologise for that, but you know what I'm talking about.
I think it's important. I missed the show, the gallery head show recently. There was a lot of talk about clipboard holders. And unfortunately, I myself and my team were busy working that day. We weren't listening to the radio. So it was after the event that I heard these comments. And I need to put out a word of defence, in fairness, to clerical staff. Do you have the right balance? No, I don't. Quite frankly, I don't. If I had my way, there would be more people managing the service, because then there would be more organisation at the service. We're actually undermanaged as a healthcare service. In terms of people in suits are not in scrubs. Well, first of all, a lot of the people who are providing key clinical services and specialist services do not wear scrubs.
Okay, well, with respect, we should have chosen my language more carefully. We're two minutes there, just clarifying. You know what I'm on about, people that make people better versus people that manage.
What I'm saying, if you have a nurse specialist, an advanced nurse practitioner, who's going on to ward and is not wearing scrubs, they may not be recognised as being a very specialist nurse who's providing high-quality clinical care and support to patients. If go back to your broader question, 17%, so less than 1 in 5 of the staff in the hospital provide clerical functions.
Okay, and they do a very important job, I'm sure.
Sorry, most of those are not managers, so... And I know I spoke with Sean before on this. So just to be clear, those are the reception staff that when you go into ED that actually book you into the hospital. Those are the staff who actually pay the nurses and the doctors and make sure that their payroll and their rosters are done and they get appropriately paid every month. Those are the staff who make sure that your medical records are available when you come to clinic. Those are the staff who, and I know people have talked about discharge letters in the patient survey, about discharge letters. Those are the staff who make sure your GP knows what treatment you had in the hospital,
okay,
what drugs you had. If one of the biggest issues I have, I talked about capacity earlier on, and I said it's not just rooms. One of the biggest complaints I have from medical staff in the hospital is the lack of clerical staff.
Okay.
To support all the functions, and doctors and nurses having to do.
Okay, you've answered that, Sean.
I just have a couple of minutes, and I want to get on to a couple of other things with you. I am labouring it because it's something that comes up time again, and it's a group of staff that work very, very hard.
But it'd be like me sitting here and labouring the hardship and the pain and the suffering that people go through in emergency departments. I could spend 15 minutes doing that, but we don't have a ton of time.
I gave you free rein in terms of highlighting the issues you're raising. I just need to defend my 100%. Staff who work really,
and you did
really
so very well
and are valued by their colleagues.
Okay, just as it relates to the short stay ward, just a brief follow-up on that. It's currently being used for office or storage purposes. I don't know the ins and outs of that. Is that short wait stay ward going to be cleared of all of that, and those 10 beds go into that ward, or are these 10 beds going to be provided elsewhere?
Absolutely. So we've had some of our chaplaincy team, our porters, and some of our waiting list people in there because they had to be moved out of their areas for building the radiology department. And we are actually, it was a vacant area adjacent to where they normally reside, and we put them in there on a temporary basis until we got approval, and they will all be reaccommodated to make that
elsewhere. That will be a ward.
The priority for myself, for my management team here, and for all the staff here, is to get extra capacity. Go back to your story about your patients on chairs in the emergency department. None of us want that. And by the way, you made a comment. Somebody spent a night on a corridor in a male ward. There are no wards that are male. There are rooms that are and six-bedded bays. All our wards are mixed, but with the male and females in different bays or different rooms. So the bed may be on a corridor outside a six-bedded male bay. And we don't want beds on our corridors. Everybody in a proper designated bed and in a side room.
Obviously, the answer, obvious answer, would be we would take as much as we can get. But in reality, how short are you in terms of funding and staff at that hospital? There'll always be issues. There'll always be busy times of the year. But, 4,700 people waiting on a bed so far this year is a lot. How short are you staff-wise? And are you continuously contacting your people further up to chain, say, this is what we need, this is what we need, this is what we need. Because I see my job, Sean, is to work with you and the people out there who have problems. They want the hospital to be the best it can. It's not us versus the hospital. It's the listeners, it's me, it's you, trying to do the best for the hospital. I hope you see it like that.
Oh, yeah. No, and absolutely. And look, you know, as I say, as I go back to my earlier point, you know, I will fully accept, you know, valid criticisms. I will be vigorous in defending my staff where I believe they're being, you know, not recognised for the contribution they make. And I completely welcome, and I've said this with our political representatives, I've said it with our community groups, you know, we are very lucky. We have a very active patients forum, a very active friends at the hospital. We are well embedded in our community here, much better than many hospitals I've worked in my years in healthcare. And that's a strength for Letterkenny. Mm. And it's a strength that I see, my view is that we should always build upon.
Okay.
The answer to your question, and I'll be very, very clear, back at the much earlier in the year, around April time, I had said very clearly that we needed at least 20 beds now, and we would need another 20 beds in the course of 2019. And in addition to that, we needed to probably close on 20 beds in the community so that the 15-20 patients who were fit to be discharged and no longer required to be in a hospital bed in Letterkenny University Hospital were actually in an appropriate care setting, and those beds, the beds that they are currently occupying, would be freed up for the patients who are in the emergency department waiting to be admitted. So that will give you some.
Okay, and finally, just
just answer your other question. So every month, I give a report through sale to identifying staff that we require to replace due to resignations or retirements, staff we require to replace due to long-term sick leave or maternity leave, and additional staff that we wish to actually develop and grow.
Okay.
So this year, we've received approval in the last number of months, and we haven't gone out doing public announcements because we're waiting to have a day for them to say we go live, but we have received approval for additional staff to create a dedicated acute stroke unit on one of our medical wards. It won't be extra beds, but it'll be enhanced and improved staffing levels to have more active acute stroke management programs. We have received now the approval for the 10 short stay beds. We have received also in the course of the year approval for additional staff in a number of diagnostic areas, and I'm still looking for more.
Okay.
The demand is continuing to increase and will continue.
Sean, thank you very much. Look, I mean, we have to speak to in the context of 86% of patients reports positive experiences at hospital. Without exception, I think I can almost say without exception, once people are in there they're being looked after, there's nothing but good things to say about the staff and about the care they received for the absolute overwhelming majority. And that's unfortunately on the note we're going to have to leave it on.
Unfortunately, we didn't get time to talk, but it is very welcome. I do thank the staff and I do thank the patients who filled out the survey. Just one thing, and you know, I thank you for your positive comments about the hospital and the staff there. Not trying to again dismiss the very real pressures we have in terms of waiting, but one of the interesting statistics in that survey is that nationally, 12% of patients in hospitals in Ireland wait over 24 hours. In Letterkenny, it's 3%.
Okay.
So, you know, we do, despite the perception that we're the worst hospital in the country, actually we do an awful lot better than most hospitals.
What we'll do is we'll schedule another chat, and we'll definitely dedicate more time to that aspect of it, because it is a positive story and it's important to get it out there. But I think you understand that there's just been a lot backing up here in terms of people that are upset. But listen, for now, Sean, thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Bye-bye. Sean Murphy there.